Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 17, God's gracious evangelism of the lost in the Great Tribulation. In our study of the book of Revelation so far, we've learned that after God takes the church to heaven in the rapture, the world will face a traumatic 7-year Great Tribulation era for not having trusted in Christ as Savior. We talked a little bit about that last week, how they're going to face the Antichrist. They're going to face a time when God is actually going to upset the entire creative order. He's going to cause the stellar universe to disappear. The sun will turn to sackcloth, the moon to blood, stars will fall, and people worldwide will call for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. And that brings up an interesting statement and a question from many believers. We who know the Lord will escape that era when God takes us to heaven, because God's promised to take us out of the earth in the pre-tribulation rapture. But that hope for ourselves does little to ease our concern for unsaved associates we know who will be left behind. Probably each one of our families here has a relative who's separate from Christ, who has not accepted Christ as Savior. I know on my wife's side, she has a brother, an older brother who doesn't know the Lord. All the ones that we know of on my side, I think we know the Lord, except a nephew. There may be a nephew that doesn't. But we all have associates. We know people. We rub shoulders with people at work. We rub shoulders with people and friends that we know in recreation sometimes. And these people are dear people. They're friends. We love them. But they don't know Jesus Christ. So what about them? So we come to the needs section, so we ask, how do I handle the realization that some of my associates may face the Great Tribulation? It's interesting that we're not the only ones asking this question. In fact, the last verse of chapter 6 that we studied last Sunday, the people on the earth, when they see the tremendous wrath of God that is exploited and exploded upon them, they will say, the great wrath, day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And the word stand implies the idea of being saved. Who can be saved? Who's going to survive this thing? And that's a concern. Well, chapter 7 of Revelation answers that question. The whole chapter answers that question. When Christ administers God's sixth seal judgment and upsets the entire creative order, unsaved people on earth will ask, who shall be able to stand, or who can be saved? And Revelation chapter 7 answers this question, with Revelation chapter 7, 1-3, showing that before the Great Tribulation era judgments ever begin, God will make sure provisions to evangelize the lost. Let me read those verses. Revelation chapter 7, 1, 2, and 3. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Actually, the better translation is, I saw another angel ascending up from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. I want to continue reading for the rest of the chapter. And when I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel, and of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, the tribe of Gad, 12,000, the tribe of Asher, 12,000, the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000, the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000, the tribe of Levi, 12,000, the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell down before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he sits on the throne. He will dwell among them. A better translation is, he will spread his tabernacle over them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's a marvelous chapter. Anyway, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, you have four angels who stand at the four corners of the earth, and they minister to the whole earth. For the term, the four corners term, is an ancient Middle Eastern title for the entire world. These angels hold back, or they hinder, the earth's four winds from blowing and hurting anything, signaling their restraint of God's judgment. For these winds picture his judgment on the nation of Elam, and back in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 36. God said there, I will judge Elam from the four winds, and I will send the four winds to go after her. And he was talking about how God would judge her from nations coming from all over the points of the compass. So this is a symbol of these angels holding back God's judgment on the entire world. Now, what's going on? Another angel then literally ascends from the rising of the sun. The Greek is anabainante apo anoktoles helio. That means he follows the sun's track in the sky from its rising to its setting. And that points us to Isaiah 45, 6, Isaiah 59, 19, and Malachi 1, 11, where God anticipates that from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, all men on earth will know and honor him as the one true great God. In other words, God is looking forward to salvaging men on the earth as he starts the great tribulation. He's very, very concerned. If you think, and I think, that we're concerned about associates that are left behind, God is a lot more concerned about them and their salvation than we are. And he's got a plan. Now, this angel who tracks the sun's movement to highlight God's anticipation of the world's peoples will thus acknowledge him, calls loudly, and thus reflective of God's will that the four angels who restrain his judgments continue their restraining action until they seal God's servants on their foreheads. This sealing points to Ezekiel 9:4 in the Old Testament, where God sent an angel to mark the foreheads of believers in Jerusalem to preserve them from God's coming destructive judgment on the city. Now, the seal of this angel is the seal of the living God. And that term, living God, is used throughout Scripture of the true and the powerful God, as opposed to non-living, false, and weak pagan idols. This seal ensures God's protection of his servants from harm so they can fulfill his assignment in the very highly destructive Great Tribulation era. When God sends his judgments on the world, they're going to be so destructive and so many people will be dying. And when the Antichrist goes after believers, he will be incredibly destructive. In order to have any kind of witness, you're going to have people on the earth who are protected. So God is going to seal these 144,000 Jews who come to faith in Christ right after the rapture. And it's going to be like 144,000 Apostle Pauls running all over the world, evangelizing people. And so your unsaved friends and my unsaved friends who would be left behind, they're going to know these guys. I mean, they're going to get out and they're going to minister and they'll be protected. So Antichrist can't hurt them. God won't hurt them. The demons that God is going to send and the trumpet judgments, we'll get into that next time. They're not going to be able to hurt them at all. And they will be a living testimony. And so the unsaved will be without any excuse for knowing the claims of Jesus Christ. Now, right after the rapture then, in summary, before the first Revelation 6 seal judgment begins, that is before even the Antichrist rises to power in the first seal, God's concern for the lost who are left on the earth after he raptures the church will be so great, he will keep his angels from starting to administer his judgments until they seal to preserve securely his 144,000 messengers to unbelievers. So right after the rapture, some will trust in Christ and become his servants so that as God starts his great tribulation judgments, he will surely be giving a worldwide witness to the unsaved world. Now let me just stop here. We know that there are Jewish people all over the world. They got them in South America. We've got them in in New York. In fact, we probably have more Jews in New York than they have in Israel right now. You've got Jews in Africa. You got them in the Orient, all over the place. And I can imagine these people will get saved. They're already planted all over the world. And God's going to raise them up as witnesses. This is going to be tremendous. Now, the identity of God's messengers and their salvation gospel is signaled in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8 as follows. There will be at least 144,000 Jews who trust in Christ right after the rapture of the church, and they will be sealed as God's secured evangelistic servants to the lost. Though some claim that these are the church is taken to heaven in the pre-tribulation rapture back in Revelation chapter 4, 1 and 2. And everywhere else where Israel's tribes are named and numbered in Scripture, they refer to the literal nation of Israel. Now, their number may signify their message. The number 1,000 may stand for Christ's thousand-year messianic reign that is talked about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. One of the 12s may stand for the 12 tribes of Israel in Christ's core messianic kingdom. And the other number 12 may represent the number of the tribes who give this message in the Great Tribulation. So 1,000 times 12 times 12 brings you to 144,000. So these witnesses may well testify of the world's need to trust in Christ, the Messiah of Israel, looking for his coming messianic kingdom versus the reign of the Antichrist. So they'll be very powerful, and they will be very effective witnesses worldwide. Now, the results of this worldwide evangelistic ministry of God's servants is presented in verses 9 to 14. John then saw a humanly innumerable throng of people from all the world's people groups stand before the throne of God and Christ. They were dressed in white robes, that signals righteousness in Revelation 19:8, and they hold palm branches in their hands. It's interesting that only elsewhere in John 12:13 and all of the New Testament do people hold palm branches in their hands. And there they hail Jesus as King, the King of Israel, at his triumphal entry. So this great throng, thus are those who trust in Christ as the Messiah under the ministry of the 144,000, and they are in heaven having been martyred mainly by being beheaded by the Antichrist. It's interesting that right now beheading is seen as an especially atrocious form of killing people, but it's beginning to be occurring a lot, especially in the Mideast under ISIS and so forth. Apparently, the Antichrist, we're fairly close to the rapture, he's going to pick up on that. And if you don't follow him, that will be the judgment. And in those days, you'll either follow the Antichrist or you'll follow Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to get off the fence. You're going to be one way or the other. You're either going to get the mark of the beast in your forehead, the number in your forehead of the Antichrist in your forehead, or if you don't, you'll be a believer in Christ. And if you're a believer in Christ, he'll go after you. And it will be death by beheading. And so you're going to have people from all over the world who will have trusted in Christ, and they will have lost their lives because of the Antichrist. Now, these people in heaven cry out, "Salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and under the Lamb," to which all the angels, the church, and the cherubs fall down before the throne and they worship God. One of the elders then told John that this crowd were those who had come out of the Great Tribulation, who had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Namely, they had trusted in Jesus Christ. So there is going to be a huge number of people from every walk of life, from every tongue, nation, and tribe, who, because of the tremendous persecution and because of the trauma of the Great Tribulation, because of the ministry of the 144,000, they'll put their faith in Christ, they'll be martyred, they'll lose their lives, and they'll be caught up and they'll be in heaven. And we're going to witness them arrive there. Now, this throng saved out of the Great Tribulation will enjoy a special relationship with the Lord. And this is talked about in verses 15 to 17. Those saved and martyred out of the Great Tribulation will stand before the throne, serving God day and night in his temple, and the Lord will dwell among them, providing rewarding fellowship with him. They will no longer hunger or thirst, nor will the natural creative disorder disturbances due to God's judgment ever again afflict them, for Christ, the Lamb of God, in the midst of the throne, will protect, care for, or nurture. That's the Greek word poimaino. He will nurture or shepherd them, leading them to fountains of waters, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, tears from the trauma of the Great Tribulation. You can imagine these people going through the experiences that they'll have gone through, having been repeatedly terrorized, sometimes maybe for several years, and finally losing their lives in a horrendous way because of the antics of the Antichrist, being caught up into heaven, and they're being there. And the Lord is going to take a special ministry to nurture these people and to encourage them and to give them victory over the trauma that they had been through. Now, this special relationship and fellowship between Jesus Christ and those who are saved out of the great tribulation will fulfill the Father's plan to make Jesus' ministry effective in light of his own past rejection and suffering. When Israel did not acknowledge Jesus in his first coming, he expressed how often he had wanted to gather her protectively as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but Israel would not. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, we read, that's not the right passage. It's probably Luke's gospel. Okay, it's Matthew. Okay, I'm in the long chapter here. Let me get Matthew chapter 23. Verse 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them that are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. But then Jesus predicted that there would be a time when she would change her mind. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see, or you will not acknowledge me from this time forth, until you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, when's that going to happen? Well, Jesus said Israel will one day accept his rule, and Revelation 7:15 predicts that God will spread his tent protectively over. It's the Greek word skenose, and then it's followed by the preposition ep autun, alton. He'll spread his tent over these saints. Some of them will be Jewish, most of them will be Gentiles, and that after their salvation from the great tribulation trials. The picture here is of God setting up his tent, his tabernacle. And when you spread your tent out over an area, wherever your tent is spread out, that's your home. So he's going to see this group of people, and he's going to spread his tent out over those people. He's going to make them part of his family. And being part of his family, his children, he's going to protect them. Never again will an Antichrist go after them and be able to touch them. He's going to nurture them. It's a beautiful picture. Just as Jesus had wanted to gather Israel as a hen gathers the chicks under her wings, and Israel said no, she's going to change her mind, and so will many, many Gentiles change their mind, and so God is going to protect them. He's going to be able to shield them. Also, Isaiah 49:10 predicts Christ's Revelation 7:16 and 17 great post-great tribulation ministry after his suffering. Jesus Christ is initially prophetically presented in Isaiah chapter 49, 1-4, as being rejected by Israel in his first coming. And though it then humanly appears that he has worked in vain, Jesus waits for the Father to reward him. In Isaiah 49:5-13, it then shows the Father responding to man's rejection of Christ, saying that he will yet make him a light and a salvation to the ends of the earth. And God adds that he will cause Christ to nurture the afflicted, in Isaiah 49:9-10. What Revelation 6:16-17 shows occurs after the people go through the great tribulation. So what you've got here is a very interesting prophecy. 700 years before the life of Christ, God foresaw the world's rejection of Jesus, not only in his earthly ministry, but also in the later church era. So God planned to allow the great tribulation to occur to drive many lost people through its great trials to trust in Christ. They will welcome Jesus' oversight opposite the rule of the Antichrist and the great tribulation trials. You see, the wisdom of God is going to judge people because they've rejected Christ. But in the judgment will be so awful, these people will want an escape. And the 144,000 will preach the gospel unto them. That's the escape. Many of them will accept it. So then they will be driven back to Christ, and Christ will receive them. This shows the wisdom of God. That also shows the grace of God on a world that has rejected his son, on a world that has rejected the ministry of the church about the Son of God. God's love for the world is so great. He doesn't want to just send people, billions and billions of people, to hell. He's going to up the ante. up the difficulties and the trials so that they'll make that decision before they die. And then even if they're martyred, they'll be with the Lord. And of course, ultimately, they're going to be resurrected from the dead. We're going to find that out in Revelation chapter 20. So the lesson is that though the church is taken out of the world before the Great Tribulation era begins, God will graciously use the Great Tribulation traumas to evangelize once unrepentant men of every people group worldwide, so that many of them will welcome Jesus' gracious shepherding. So we need to trust in Jesus Christ today to be saved and enjoy his shepherding ministry without having to go through the Great Tribulation. When I look out over a group like this, it's my hope and belief that everyone here has made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't dare take that for granted. If you're here today and as yet you have not personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would urge you, I plead with you to make that decision to believe in him today so that you could be saved today and go in the rapture and skip the Great Tribulation era. It'll be much easier at that point. However, we can be sure that even after the rapture, after the church has been taken to heaven, unsaved people we know will surely be evangelized under great duress, with many worldwide coming to trust in Christ, only to be martyred and then wonderfully shepherded and nurtured by our Lord. And that in line with the Father's will that the world's peoples come to heed and honor him from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. There's an interesting story that appears in the Daily Bread little booklets that are being put back on our tables here. In the October 28, 2014 daily reading of Working for the Wind, in the RBC Ministries booklet, Our Daily Bread, Jennifer Benson Schult tells how a man named Howard Levitt was one day driving his $200,000 Ferrari on a Toronto, Canada highway when he came upon what appeared to be a large puddle in the road. Thinking he could drive through it, Howard continued to head across it, but the water soon became so deep that the car's 450 horsepower engine seized. He was able to get out of his Ferrari and save his life by going to high ground, but he lost his car. That is what it will be like in the time of the Great Tribulation. Many people will not have heeded Jesus Christ's gospel in the church era, so when the rapture occurs, they'll find themselves suddenly caught up in enormous trauma, and they'll be terrified. Thankfully, God will have his 144,000 witnesses already scattered worldwide, and though many people will lose everything, including their physical lives, they will be able to gain God's eternal salvation of the soul by believing the gospel of Christ and his coming kingdom as heralded by God's 144,000 servants. So the program of God to save the lost doesn't end at the rapture. Thank God. God in his love is going to reach out. It's going to be much more difficult at that time, but at least many, many people will come to Christ. So if we've not done so, may we trust in Jesus Christ today to be saved. And then may we witness and live for Christ, but trusting God to deal in perfect love and justice with the lost on earth after the rapture. We talk about John 3:16. The Bible says that God there so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, put his son on a cross. That love for the Father is something that doesn't end with just a select group of people like the church going to heaven. God's love for the world continues. And that's why he appears in Revelation chapter 4 as a stone that looks like the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Benjamin, because he's concerned about the Reubenites and the Benjamites. He's concerned about people who are still left on the earth who don't know Christ. And he's going to reach out. He's going to reach them. So we can rest assured that God is going to have a program for them. But it's going to be a lot better if people accept Christ today. So I trust that we accept him today as our Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this wonderful chapter in the book of Revelation that turns back the clock a little bit and indicates that before God even starts the first sealed judgment in Revelation chapter 6, he's going to have this program already set in place by his messengers who will be saved and sealed so that they can witness effectively worldwide. And we ask, Father, that with this hope, we would trust that no matter what happens, no matter what response we get from people and friends and associates that we are ministering today to, that you're still going to reach out and reach them. But may we be found faithful, living for Jesus Christ, serving him, continuing to witness until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.